This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us. It is a Friday. We have reached the end of the week, but football season kind of underway. The Hall of Fame game last night, not very entertaining in terms of football, but you didn't really expect it, did you? I mean, it's a first preseason game out of the... What did you think? You're going to get a thrilling game between backups and guys that probably won't play? But you know what was interesting about last night's game? When you're doing the game, if you're Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, you're preparing in a way to call the game, but what you're really preparing for is how the integration is going to be between the game itself and the interviews and the conversation around the weekend ceremony. Peyton Manning is going to come into the booth. Tom Rinaldi is going to talk to every single Hall of Famer in attendance about what it was like to play back in their time and what it means to be a Hall of Famer. And in between these interviews, you're going to be setting up football, right? You're going to let you know the who, what, where, and when of the game, but in the end, it is mostly about what is going to happen this weekend with the celebration of the Hall of Fame. And a big one at that, because if you remember last year, we didn't have one. So this is the year you get the 2020 class and the 2021 class kind of coming in together. But, you know, as for the game itself, if you wanted to peck at some details, you could, but be cautious because what you had last night was kind of a sloppy game, a game that really didn't have a real ebb and flow, a lot of punting, a lot of turnovers. The Steelers' best quarterback was Josh Dobbs, who played late against Cowboys' third-string defensive guys. That's what you're going to get out of it. But nevertheless, it's a kind of a thing that we do as football fans that when a preseason game is on, we try to extract some value to it, even though there's not a ton of value that you can get. I'll give you a perfect example. Najee Harris had like 7 carries for 22 yards. That's not spectacular by any means, but every time he touched the ball, when I, as a Steeler fan, was watching it going, oh, please just get up when you get tackled, because I think 7 carries just might be too many. All right, there's some things about this weekend we want to get to in terms of the Hall of Fame class of, again, 2020 and 2021. We'll talk a little bit about the game last night and the overall NFL and some of the teams that are dealing with certain issues this offseason. We got more of the Olympics as the United States will take on their arch nemesis, France, for the gold medal. And the women are rolling along as well. As we continue, you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on a Friday. The Hall of Fame game last night went to Pittsburgh, 16-3 over the Dallas Cowboys. It was like a blocked field goal and missed field goals and punts and turnovers, things you would expect when football teams go at it for the first time in the season. But nevertheless, it was still football and it was on television and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were on the call. And again, big celebratory atmosphere in Canton, Ohio for a lot of players going into the Hall of Fame because we got 2 classes going in this weekend. I did like Peyton Manning in the booth last night with Buck and Aikman. And I liked the way he just interjected play-by-play in the middle of his conversation. He would just be talking about something and then something would happen on the field and he would just throw in what was going on.
Well, that was very nice. Reps in, right?
He's got to get some reps in. Yeah, if I'm Troy Aikman, I was standing there very nervous. Like, shut up, Peyton. Don't start yapping. I've already got the knives out on Twitter every time I say something generic and basic.
That's my spot, baby.
Yeah, you don't want to be coming into this booth anytime. So this is my plush gig. So, yeah, they were talking to him about his Monday night thing he's doing with his brother. And he was like, yeah, it's going to be like if... It's going to be like if you're sitting at a bar watching NFL and Eli and I come up. And I was like, no, it would be like if I was sitting at a bar watching football and you and Eli came in and totally ignored me and didn't allow me to enjoy the conversation. Yeah. That's what it's going to be like. Sitting at a bar means all 3 of us will be having a conversation, not just you two. But still, I think that thing is going to be pretty cool. Definitely going to catch it.
It's worth a tune in.
Yeah. And then he drops this information that Tom Brady is flying in to watch him get inducted into the Hall of Fame. That was great. That was great. Brady is going to make a visit to watch Peyton Manning get inducted. But his father is going to introduce him, which is very cool. And he did what we said he was going to do, which is he started talking about all of the people in his life that affected his career. And he just kind of, he didn't give us a preview of his speech, but he kind of hit on all of these important people from high school to college to the pros. And, he did name drop a few. He talked about his relationship with Brady and the rivalry. I think it's a loaded speech full of names and people that really matter. And it's a lot for Peyton Manning. But it was cool to have Tom Rinaldi out there interviewing players that are going to go get inducted. Bill Cowher, Donnie Schell, Drew Pearson. I mean, we got to see some of the players that are going to be inducted. Jimmy Johnson is going in. It's going to be a really cool weekend for the Hall of Fame in Canton. I mean, again, you're talking about two classes that are coming in. So the 2021 class is Manning, you got Calvin Johnson, you got John Lynch, Alan Faneca, Drew Pearson, Calvin Johnson, Tom Flores, Bill Nunn, who's a Steelers coach. But the list that is of 2020, it's like Cliff Harris of the Cowboys, Harold Carmichael of the Eagles, Isaac Bruce, Steve Atwater, Troy Polamalu, Donnie Schell, Edgerrin James, Steve Hutchinson, Bill Cowher, Jimmy Johnson, Paul Tagliabue is getting in. Steve Sable, the late, great Steve Sable, is getting in, the founder of NFL Films. This is a great weekend for Canton, man. This is going to be great.
It really is, and it feels like almost every team is represented.
Yeah, right? There's a whole bunch of them. I mean, the Broncos, just alone, they have three guys that are representing them. John Lynch, Buccaneer, former Buccaneer Bronco, is in. The Steelers have a bunch of players. The Cowboys have a couple of players. Colts have a couple of players. The Seahawks have a few. I mean, this is cool. The Lions. Alex Karras is getting into the Hall of Fame. Alex Karras, who played Webster's dad.
Yep.
You remember him on the TV show? Him and his wife created a TV show together. They were like producers of the show. Did you know the backstory of that real quick?
No.
Him and his wife created this. She played Ma'am. That was his real-life wife on the program. So they created this show, and it was supposed to be about them. The whole center of the program was going to be about them raising the son of a friend, right? And they got Emmanuel Lewis to play Webster. And the executives at ABC realized the star of the show was Emmanuel Lewis. It wasn't those two. So they basically forced them to change the entire format of the show, plus the title, plus the way the credits rolled, everything. And in order for them to get the to get their project on the air, they had to live with these demands by ABC. So the entire show is really revolving around the child rather than Alex Karras and his wife. I don't know how to feel about that. Like, you got a TV show, but everything you wanted out of that show, they just changed on you.
And listen, you know what? I knew Alex Karras as an actor before I knew him as a football player.
Oh, yeah. I think my father had to tell me he played in the NFL when I was a kid watching Webster. And I'm like, No.
Not that guy.
He's one of the most fearsome nose guards in the history of the league.
Who knew?
Oh, yeah. And then he just decided to. And you know what he did? He played for the Lions. I don't know what his acting background was, but you see this a lot with guys who live in Los Angeles, like who played for the Rams and maybe the Chargers, a little bit more access to the industry.
Yeah.
You know, Fred Dreyer, Ed Marinaro. There's a couple of football players who have had time with these Los Angeles-based teams where they kind of got, hey, I think I got a good personality. I can act a little bit. I can do some different things in the entertainment industry.
You're just in the market.
You're in the market and you're well-connected. It's right there. He played for Detroit. And somehow he got the acting chops, and there you go. That he actually had a second career where, like you and I as little kids watching Webster, didn't believe he was an NFL player.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no, that guy didn't play in the NFL. It's that he couldn't have. He's an actor, but they did.
And now he's
Dick
a
Butkus
Hall of
was an actor too.
Yeah, that one.
I knew Dick Butkus.
Yeah, I knew him. He was a football. I knew of him as a football player first.
So I'm kind of excited Alex Karras got into the Hall of Fame. That's pretty awesome.
He was part of that, like that huge selection, right?
Yeah.
Part of that group of like, what was like group, 20 kids? 20
yeah,
guys.
There's a whole bunch of them. And I didn't even mention some of them, like Bobby Dillon of the Packers and Winston Hill of the Rams and Jets. I mean, there's a huge list that are going in. This is a big weekend. I mean, because again, the not having a class last year allows it to be really big this year. I think the marquee guy, though, of all of the players getting in is Manning. So that, you know, that's a speech worth watching. If you like Manning, maybe you don't like Manning. You couldn't care less what he has to say at Canton, Ohio.
Well, if you don't like Manning, you're probably from New England.
Yeah, you probably are. Even if you're from New England, how could you not love Manning?
Yeah, no, well, because, I mean, you know, I'm glad that Brady is going to be there because that made football fun for a while because we never had a rivalry like that.
See, I was thinking about this a while back with Manning when we actually were discussing him as we've discussed him a number of times as an entertainer as well as a football player, the way he has this sort of self-deprecating humor that really works well. It works in the ads with Brad Paisley. It works in a variety of different promotional things that he's done. Whenever he does a thank you to a player that broke a record or congratulations to like Drew Brees or anything, there's always a self-deprecating angle to it. When Brady had the comeback against the Falcons, he did this whole video where he's kicking people out of the house, right? He's very self-deprecating and it works. Like the probably the most self-deprecating athlete / entertainer in my lifetime was Bob Uecker, but he wasn't a very good baseball player.
No, he wasn't.
Like, right? So there's an ability to be self-deprecating on how you played Major League Baseball, right? And then he kind of became like a clown former athlete. Manning's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever have played the game, and yet he's got self-deprecation. It's pretty awesome.
I mean, with Uecker, I mean, he was just speaking truth.
Oh, that's right. Completely truth. Right, complete truth.
What, he have one season?
Yeah, and became one of the greatest broadcasters. Play-by-play guys.
Has he retired?
I think he did. I think he did. There's another guy who got the acting bug, Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah, Mr. Belvedere.
Right. You know. So but Manning is just blessed with this charisma, as well as being a football player. This charisma that. I don't know that there's an attractive quality to it, right? There's something about him that is, you just listen to what, you know, he's funny. He does a lot of good things. Saturday Night Live appearance was classic. I mean,
I was also going to say, I really hope that was it, United Way.
Yeah. The United Way.
I hope he thanks the United Way.
One of the best Saturday Night Live bits of all time, you know, and I think that adds to his legacy. I mean, he backed it up with, you know, incredible talent and ability, you know, two Super Bowl championships on two different teams, you know, like his, you know, a fantastic career. And again, one of the greatest quarterback rivalries in terms of him and Tom Brady that we've seen. It's been just remarkable to watch. So it's good to see him on Sunday. All right. On Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Coming up, we'll get more into the NFL because again, quarterback stories are just flowing as camp is now underway. We'll get to a couple of those coming up. And if you listen to yesterday's show, I told you this story about a Belarus sprinter that has defected to Poland, or at least into Europe, to escape the dictatorial reign of her country that demanded her return after she was critical of coaches. There's more to that story that makes it even more harrowing. I got that coming for you this hour as well as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is SportsMap Radio and Wake Up Call. You can hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. More from the NFL preseason game last night. I didn't watch it. I'll be honest with you. I got two sides to this preseason game. One is the sort of NFL analytical side that I do. And then the other is the Steeler fandom in me. I'll get to that in a second. But before I do, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every every day. So again, I'm looking as a fan. I'm watching last night just to see, you know, hey, is everybody going to be healthy? How much are we seeing of these, you know, players? Najee Harris had 7 carries, 22 yards, maybe 5 carries too much.
Well, I was going to say 6. Right?
Maybe 6.
Maybe 6 too
maybe
much.
Maybe 1 or 2 just to get him out there, yeah. But I don't think 7. Like, none of the offensive line, all the offensive linemen were second string guys.
Of course.
Like, I mean, what are you doing?
You roll out your offensive linemen. It's the only way Ben's going to stay upright.
Guys you put together in the offseason to make sure that you have something decent. You're not going to throw them out there in the first game. Now, there was one harrowing moment for me when Chase Claypool was running a go route and leaped for a pass and then got tripped up and then landed awkwardly and then was slow to get up. And I'm like, listen, man, you have already secured your spot on this team. You do not need to be diving for balls in a preseason game.
That's right.
You need to be going to the quarterback and the coaching staff and going, here's the deal. Unless it hits right here on the numbers, I ain't going to stretch for it. All right. You don't want me stretching for it, and I don't want to be stretching for it. So how about that? Unless it's hitting me on the numbers, and then you could plead your case. Don't you want the quarterback to hit me on the numbers anyway? I'm not going to be diving for footballs. But he went for that one, and he was slow to get up. And so then of course, they said he was fine, and I was like, oh, thank God. That's all you care about in these games, man. They just what else are you watching, really? I mean, the one guy in the first, I don't know, 10 minutes of the game that I heard more than any player was Micah Parsons, the Cowboys. They must have said his name 5 or 6 times in the first 5 or 6 series, of the game. He was everywhere. But he's a rookie, right? He's the rookie linebacker. He's the #1 overall pick. So you can sort of understand maybe getting out there a little bit into game situations. But again, this was not about any sort of evaluation. This was not about breaking down what the Cowboys will look like. This was nothing more than a football game as part of the festivities for what this weekend is about. That's it. That's all this was. And then we move on after this weekend into the seriousness of what we're doing in camp and the preseason games that are going to start coming up starting on Thursday and into the weekend and then flowing into the 3 that they're going to play to the start of the regular season. And we still have a whole bunch of quarterback questions that are going on. Like, for example, one of the inductees in the Hall of Fame is John Lynch, who is a general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, like executive president of something. You know, he's the man in charge of the 49ers. He went on a radio podcast, I believe, and just started singing the praises of Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Now, remember, Trey Lance is the guy that they drafted in the first round, but Jimmy Garoppolo is the guy that led them to the Super Bowl, albeit handing the ball off most of the time. And winning games when 2 years ago. He's singing the praises of Jimmy Garoppolo. So what is he doing with that? What is he doing with that? Is he telling 49er fans through this interview, man, guys, you should be excited. Remember when we went to the Super Bowl? Jimmy Garoppolo is better than ever. Yeah, sure, we were, throwing 8 times a game, whatever. Doesn't matter. He's looking fantastic. Or is he selling Jimmy Garoppolo to anybody that will listen? What's the game? That's the kind of stuff you're getting right now, right? Philip Rivers casually says, I'm in shape. I might be available if anybody wants to call me. Who is the first team that's going to call Philip Rivers? It's quite possibly Indianapolis, who lost Carson Wentz and doesn't really believe in the two guys behind him if they don't trade for Nick Foles. Right, speaking of the Bears, what exactly is that? All right, is Justin Fields going to see action by week 4? Or is Andy Dalton, who says he came there as to be the starter, just stays the starter? What about Philadelphia? Nick Sirianni doesn't want to name Jalen Hurts the starter? Who is the starter then, if it's not Jalen Hurts? Is the reason you made the deal with Indianapolis to get rid of Carson Wentz in the first place? Is Deshaun Watson going to see any action at all in Houston? I mean, what exactly is Deshaun Watson doing in camp? Playing safety? What's he doing there? So these are the big questions that are going on. And of course, you got the funner questions, the more interesting development questions, right? Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, he's obviously their starter. But when? Is he going to be starter week 1, week 2? Eventually, he's got to take it over. Do you just throw him right in? Right? I think it's week one.
Yeah, you got to go week one.
You can't just baby him and just, you got to throw him into the fire.
As much as we love ourselves some Gardner Minshew, I'm sorry, he's week one.
I remember screaming for this for the Steelers when they got Ben Roethlisberger, and I like Tommy Maddox. I thought they played pretty well with Tommy Maddox, but they were coming off a bad season, and I said Ben Roethlisberger should be the starter on day one because my first team that I covered as a young college graduate was the Patriots first year with Drew Bledsoe, and that's exactly what Bill Parcells did.
Yeah.
Parcells said, that's our number one pick. He's our number one guy. Not Scott Zolak, not anybody else. Drew Bledsoe's our starter.
I was doing it last year with Herbert.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and it took doctors stabbing Taylor in the lungs.
Tyrod Taylor, right, to get him in there.
Which happened after week one.
And by the way, and I believe this. I believe this. I mean, not to get all mystical and crystals with anybody. I believe that when you draft a quarterback, something just seems to happen that just allows that player to get in the game as quickly as possible.
Yes.
It just always seems to be that way. If the coach doesn't appoint you the starting quarterback, some mystical alignment in the stars creates a scenario where the starter gets stabbed in the lung. And you have to play him. Or Tommy Maddox got hurt in the second week of the season for the Steelers, and Roethlisberger never looked back, right?
Yep.
Like, it just, there's something that just occurs. Tom Brady was destined to be the quarterback of the New England Patriots at some point. Now, he wasn't a number one pick, and he wasn't a rookie, but somehow the stars line up for certain players where they just find a way in and they get in.
Now, the interesting one will be with these type of scenarios will be the Niners.
The Niners, right.
Because I
think Lynch is selling Garoppolo to anybody who wants to listen.
Yeah. But I think Garoppolo still starts.
I do too. Until they start figuring out, you know, the players. Look, teams are not going to pick up the phone and call John Lynch and go, "Hey, I hear you're saying he's good. We're interested." They're obviously going to go, "Yeah, John, cool. We know how the game is played. So you just let us watch to see how this develops." But you remember when you draft a guy in the first round. This is why Aaron Rodgers was so ticked off at the Packers. You don't just grab a quarterback in the first round to have him just in case of emergency, break glass. You are eventually going to make that person the starting quarterback of that franchise.
Yeah.
This is not picking up a guy in the fifth round that may or may not work out. You've made a decision on where the future of the franchise is. That's why Aaron Rodgers was so ticked. They didn't use the first round pick for a backup, right? The signals are coming, right? And if you're Jimmy Garoppolo, they picked him right away, right?
I mean, third
overall. This is not Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson that are going to step into teams that need quarterbacks. This is Jimmy Garoppolo watching the team he's running pick a guy third. That eventually, that, you know, they're cashing that ticket eventually. And that's what you got to be like. Same in the Bears. Andy Dalton can scream all he wants. I came here to be the starter. I'm the starter. I'm QB1. Yeah, you're QB1 until you start screwing up, and then they're going to start screaming for Justin Fields.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Which could come in game one.
Right. It could come in game one.
Because Andy Dalton, we all know you're on the backside of your career, and you make a ton of mistakes.
That is exactly right.
Couldn't hold down the Cowboys job.
So,
with no Dak Prescott.
I said that Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, when they got drafted, I remember the Titans had Jake Locker, I think, and Zach Mettenberger, and, you know, a couple of guys that they've used over the years that were working out. And I remember people in Tennessee were like, well, should they start? Who else are you going to start? You drafted this guy with the first pick, the second pick overall. First round, what are you going to do with him? Have him just sit there and stare into a losing football team? Because your quarterbacks that you had led you to this point where you drafted the second pick overall, right? I mean, come on, it was you got to eventually go. It's yours. Take it. Run with it. That's why Gardner Minshew doesn't stand a chance. Trevor Lawrence is your starter. Zach Wilson is going to be a day one starter. Those other two teams, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Now me, I'm like, you know, I'm curious to see the cooling of heads in Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers and everybody just starts getting along and winning football games again. We'll see how that plays out this
Rodgers
season.
Claims he's been keeping love in the loop.
That's right. Sure. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how rolls. All right. We'll get some information from the Olympic Games coming up as we continue. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
wake-up call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Remember that story I told you about the Belarus sprinter yesterday?
I can't get enough of it.
I can't. All right, so there's another story that came out on this. I am fascinated with this. I am hoping. Look, there's a part of me that is hoping, obviously, for the safety of her and her family. But there's a part of me that's like, Netflix movie, please. Like, I need to see. Now, I want like this.
Do we want movie or do you want documentary?
Documentary, and probably documentary, because this latest article that I saw on this involves a recording that has emerged between the officials of Belarus that showed up to her room to tell her, you need to come home right now.
Up to her in Tokyo?
Yeah, while she was in Tokyo. So in case you missed yesterday's show, or yesterday's hour when I brought this up, there is a Belarus sprinter who was critical of her coaches on Instagram. Now, the reason she was critical is because she runs the 200-meter race, and that's the only thing she's trained for, and that is the one thing she's there for. However, the country wanted her to compete in the 4x100 relay, and she felt that was going to disrupt her training for the 200 meters, the only thing, again, that she's there for. So she was critical of the coaches on Instagram. Once she posted the report, this tirade against her coaches, she took it down, but it still caught the eye of the country in which she lives. And that country is under a heavy dictatorship. The man who runs the country has been a dictator there for 27 years and rules with an iron fist. So officials, once word got out in Minsk that, hey, this is not good, officials from the country showed up at her door in the early morning, woke her up, knocked on the door to tell her, pack up, we're leaving. You got to go home right now. She, terrified and angrily, denied, said, I'm not going. And then here's the twist. They started to persuade her that this is something she needed to do for herself, her family, and the country. They used a bunch of war analogies to get her to understand her responsibility in this. But they also kind of, in a way, pleaded with her because they knew they were in big trouble if they didn't get her home. Like, their responsibility was to get her home. So this recording has come out where they told her, like, she's in tears, and they tell her, get over this. Put aside your pride. Your pride will tell you, don't do it. You've got to be kidding. It will start pulling you in the devil's vortex and twisting you. And then this is what they say. That's how suicide cases end up, unfortunately. So when they got to the airport, she ran to Tokyo officials to seek asylum. She ran at the airport to get saved. They got her to the Polish embassy in Tokyo, where she was granted asylum. And then she was told, you can fly to Poland where they'll give you asylum there. However, this is where this story gets really crazy. So remember, she's trying to flee from her government. Her government is now, on her, wanting to get her home to face the wrath of being critical of her country and the officials of her country for making this decision at the Olympics. So she gets a flight to Poland. Okay, but when she gets to the airport at the last second, I don't know how she did this. She must have arranged it somehow. At the last second, she gets on a flight to Vienna. Why? Because she was afraid that Belarus Secret Service agents had snuck on that flight to get her when she got to Poland. Is this not crazy? This is because it happened before. There was a Belarusian journalist who was on a flight in May, and Secret Service agents were on that flight. And just followed him. So she went to Austria. Now, she is not going to tell anybody where she's going. She is going to basically try to disappear. That's where she's at right now. This is where this sprinter is at right now in her life. Escaping the Olympics, now heading to Europe to try to disappear from her government. All because she posted a get this off my chest. I'm pretty ticked off that I have to run the 4x100 meter relay as well as the event I showed up to Tokyo with. And that's basically it. I can't get enough of this story. It's kind of petrifying.
I'm also reading that two of the coaches have been kicked out by IOC.
Yeah, the IOC took their credentials away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, this is...
You can't have this going on at the Tokyo Games.
I mean, you know what? Yeah, a documentary would be good, but some sort of just regular old movie with actors.
Yeah.
I think I would get into that, too. This is,
I
mean, we know this is going to end up as a movie. Somehow, some way.
Listen to this part of the article. It says here, according to the transcript, the two men first tried to assure her that if she comes home without a fuss, all will be fine, that it'll be forgotten as a youthful indiscretion, and she'll be able to resume her athletic career. But that is clearly a lie. The Lutsenko regime doesn't forgive and forget, as all three would have known. Quote, I think this won't end well for me, she says in the recording. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, she talked about how she could end up in a hospital or in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, the truth is, like, we'll probably never hear about you again.
And the thing is, they tell her that through your stupidity, you could end up destroying people's lives. This is crazy.
Yes.
This is going on today in 2021 at the Olympic Games. This happened earlier this week.
It's amazing.
This happened on Monday morning. They knocked on her door early to wake her up to tell her, your Olympics are over. You're going to go home to face the wrath of this stupid decision you made to criticize our government on Instagram.
I mean, this sounds like something straight out of the 80s.
It's totally like, out of the 80s.
You know, something with the Cold War happening. And you know,
exactly.
I'm certain there was an 80s movie that's being played out in real life now.
Listen, as long as if there's information on this, I'm going to keep bringing it up because I'm fascinated with this story. This is now my thing. I'm now fascinated. I don't know what else there will be. She's gone. She flew away. So I don't know what else will pop up, but nevertheless.
Well, where can she go and hide?
I don't know. Where can you go and hide in 2021?
Yeah.
Can you hide in 2021?
I mean, you change your name, obviously, but there's no social media.
The problem
is facial recognition software.
Yes. And here's the thing. While there are obviously pictures of her wearing a mask, there are pictures of her without a mask on the internet. Somebody is going to get persuaded somehow to make a phone call if she shows up in a small town in the middle of nowhere.
There'll be a bounty out for her, right?
Of course.
I've seen it in a lot of mob movies.
Absolutely. Like, you have to, I mean, I don't know what happens to her.
You can't be a dictator in this day and age and not have long arms.
Right. You can, yeah, I mean, and if you're a ruthless dictator, you don't let these kind of things go, right? You don't allow this. Like, she just escaped and now is living a beautiful life in the Alps.
Right.
You have to make, you know, you have to show how tough you are. And, you know, so this is not, I don't know how this is going to end for her. Fascinated by this. Unbelievable. Michael on Twitter, Patriot fans don't hate Manning. We're not mean. Hating Manning would be like hating Corky from the TV show Life Goes On. We feel sorry for him. Wow.
That is
so elitist.
Yes.
As a Patriot fan, Michael. Well played. That is a very, yes.
The more bizarre thing about that is that my mom's in town. And yesterday, I don't know how we got into the conversation, but we were trying to remember the TV show Corky was on, and we couldn't find it.
Now he just mentioned
Life
Goes On.
And he just mentioned it. And I'm like, I can't wait to let my mom know that, hey, Life Goes On. You remember that TV show? That's what it was.
By the way, Michael, do not think for a second it did not, you know, blow over that you've done two Amanda Peterson references in back-to-back days. Yesterday you gave us Can't Buy Me Love, starring Patrick Dempsey and Amanda Peterson, and Life Goes On, also starring Amanda Peterson.
Did it really?
Yes. Do not think it did not go. It went flew over my head. I'm right on top of what you were trying to do.
So what you're saying is he has a thing for Amanda Peterson.
It probably does.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No. Well, if you kind of grew up in the 80s, she was very attractive.
She was.
She was very cute. It's too bad she ended up in Greeley, Colorado, and died of drug overdose. Felt bad. It's probably someone that just didn't get the. I don't know. I don't think it worked out for her, the acting, after a while. She did a couple things and then kind of disappeared. So, nevertheless, the Olympics ends this weekend. United States going for the gold against a team that has beat them twice, France. Remember Evan Fournier had that really good basketball game, and Nicholas Batum had a good game in the pool opener where they beat the United States? Yeah, they got to play France to win the gold medal. The United States women, though, just cruising along. They won by like 20 points over Serbia. But the U.S. men...
They do that, right?
Yeah, they've won like 56 straight games.
Yeah, they're going for their seventh straight gold medal.
Exactly. Well, the U.S. men are going for their fourth straight gold in the Olympics, but they got to beat a team that's just got their number. I'm telling you, if they lose, I screamed about this yesterday. When they lose, they're going to try to present France as one of the greatest basketball teams ever assembled in the history of the sport. You watch. There's not going to be any, this is unacceptable, this should have never happened, we should be ashamed of ourselves. They're going to spin it to try to convince you that Evan Fournier and Nicolas Batum and Rudy Gobert were just way better than Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard and Devin Booker and Draymond Green and Zach LaVine and everybody else that's on that Olympic, that basketball team. So don't buy it for 2 seconds. This team should win. So, by the way, Michael responding, who didn't have a thing for Amanda Peterson? That's right. Who didn't? Amanda Peterson was attractive.
We can't argue that.
That's right. Yeah. She was a very attractive young lady. So she's a typical 80s sort of setting, right? Like she looked 80s in that movie. Had the hair, popular, right? Blonde.
Yep.
It was always those kind of movies. Like, it was just a bunch of them that were built on that. You know, high schools that were different cliques and whatnot. So, all right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. It is Wake Up Call on a Friday as we continue along. Hey, one thought on the Packers when we come back on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. So one more thought on the Packers. Now, when you were out, Ron, we were talking about, you know, obviously when you were out, Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers came to a mutual understanding of one another, came to a deal. He reported to training camp. And one of the things that I had said was, look, we sort of live in this sports bubble, right, where we sort of think everybody likes our guys as much, you know, like our athletes that we follow on a regular basis are as popular as anybody in the world or anybody in the country. And that kind of isn't always the case. And one of the points that I made was we tended in the sports world, right, to assume that Aaron Rodgers was automatically going to just be the host of Jeopardy, right? We like him. Wouldn't everybody like him? Wouldn't every old person that watches Jeopardy, wouldn't they just warm to Aaron Rodgers being on their TV? Well, that now is out because Mike Richards, who is an executive producer, is now going to be the host of Jeopardy on a full-time basis. But we have a tendency to think that that was a real option, when in reality, he was up for it as much as a whole bunch of people was up for it. So if you took that off the table, right, when we said Aaron Rodgers could retire and become the host of Jeopardy, well, what if he couldn't be the host of Jeopardy, right? What if he wasn't in the running? Like, what if they had told him that was a really good audition, but you're probably sixth on the list of good auditions that we've had from all of these different people who are interested in the job? Then what does he do? Does he take his money and run? Does he just stop playing football? Does his competitive nature just die? Does he want to get into TV in some capacity? What else was his option? If it wasn't to retire and host a game show, then what else was he going to do? And I always felt that the competitive pull of being so close to a Super Bowl was going to allow him a little bit more openness to mend the fence, and the Packers' willingness to say, look, in the end, as much as, you know, drafting Jordan Love for the future is something we will eventually do, we were so close to the Super Bowl. So what can we do at the table to entice you back? Even though the Packers at the time had zero, I mean, Packers had all the leverage and Aaron Rodgers had zero other than retiring. But as we've said time and time again with this situation, if Aaron Rodgers had said to them, fine, I'll retire, the Packers could say, good, because that means you won't be playing for anybody else, right? Trading you means I've now got to put my team behind whatever team we send you to in a pursuit of the Super Bowl. You might go to the AFC, but you might end up being the best AFC team we will have to face if we want a Super Bowl championship in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, if you want to retire, retire, but you don't get to play for another team because we will just make sure that doesn't happen. And in this way, those two sides came together. But the news of Mike Richards getting the Jeopardy chair we all should have said, hey, maybe, just maybe, Aaron Rodgers wasn't the front runner to win this game show job. Because, I mean, it was Robin Roberts. There was Ken Jennings that people really liked. There was LeVar Burton that was hosting the show. There was a lot of heavy hitters that were going after this gig. Aaron Rodgers was just one of many. But now you're starting to see this sort of, he's already talking about, hey, you know what? Maybe we're not going to be friends, but we'll all work together with the general manager. What we all kind of speculated all along really did come to fruition, which is in the end, he's going to play for Green Bay. And in the end, the both sides are going to try to make it work. That as bitter as he was, he has got to stop being bitter. Because at this point, moving forward, he's got to cut it out. Like at this point going forward, he now has to focus on how do I get the Packers back to where we just were? Lambeau Field, late January, on this probably case will be early February, hosting the NFC Championship game against whoever is our opponent. We are making sure that that game is going to be at home. We just left it on the field against Tampa Bay. We may face them again, but we need to get back to where we started. Any complaining, bitterness, still throwing out cryptic messages. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, you got to stop that. Stop that right now. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up in hour number two. We'll talk to Bobby Belton, the Dallas Cowboys, in our preview coming up next.